All right, we are back with our second edition of the Reporter's Corner Previews. I'm one half of your co-host, Jared Rebato, with the Bemidji Pioneer. With me, the better half of the co-host, Trent Singer. Trent, how are we doing today?
Doing good, Jared. Just wrapped up another great interview here to kind of start this summer series off and really kind of lead people into the CCHA season.
Yeah, and I think we followed up our first episode with a really good second one. We had Alex Micheletti on to talk some Mavs. We previewed Minnesota State, and it's an interesting team this year, Trent. Obviously coming off a McNaughton Cup, a Mason Cup, an NCAA tournament appearance where I think they gave Western Michigan their toughest game en route to a national championship. And but we dug deep with Alex Micheletti. He's pretty plugged in into the Mavs, especially on Twitter. So, Trent, what did we get into with the McMahon?
Yeah, obviously he's a Minnesota State grad and got a little bit of his backstory and how he really, you know, got associated with this team. Alex is the man on Twitter. I mean, he's truly, if you want Minnesota sports content, he is kind of the go-to guy. Always plugged into the scene, the local sports scenes in the state. And when it comes to Mavs hockey too, I mean, just does an outstanding job and has a wealth of knowledge about this team. You know, this Minnesota State team loses 17 players this year. It brings in 17 more. It'll be 10 transfers and 7 freshmen. And you know, that sounds like a lot, but I still like this Minnesota State team. I'm probably a little higher on them than you are, Jared, but I do like what they're bringing back on the back end. And as long as that's there, I think this is a team that's going to contend again. You know, obviously they bring back Alex Tracy. You know, they bring back pretty much their entire decor, and to have that consistency is huge in this system with Luke Strand, who's going into year 3. Really, really like Minnesota State this year again. Obviously, there are going to be a lot of questions when they lose a guy like Rhett Pitlick and add a bunch of pieces in the portal. They really hit the portal hard with forwards. I don't think they added a single defenseman in the portal. It was all forwards and maybe a goalie as well. But like this team, and we got some really, you know, we kind of ran through the same thing that we did with David Brown, who was previously on the show for the Augustana episode. Talked a little bit about the strengths and weaknesses, you know, who Alex likes to lead the team in points this season, who are some of those transfers and freshmen that he likes to step in, and what's it going to take? I mean, what will it take for Minnesota State to have another successful season? And Alex kind of gave his thoughts on that. Of course, we closed it out, too, with just his take on what is turning out to be, for the third year that I've covered this league, you know, parity in the CCHA, and it's a league that's going to be hard to really, you know, pick where everybody lines up and falls in place. And I don't know that anybody's going to be 100% correct in making those picks. So we got his take on the top 4 teams he likes, you know, who his sleepers were, and then, you know, which team or teams will make the NCAA tournament, and talked a little bit about that as well. So it was a great episode. I think Jared and I are learning these are a little team specific, but if you are interested in, you know, the teams across the league, I encourage you to listen to these episodes to maybe gain a little insight into, you know, what you're going to be seeing this year as the season gets a little closer and as we do kind of get into October for the start of the season. So another great episode. I think if you're Mavs fans, you're definitely going to enjoy this one.
Yeah, and like you said, with the team-specific stuff, I think, you know, the people that are going to go through and listen to all these are going to go into the CCHA season with – a really good perspective on where each fan base also sits too, and you know, where they kind of come from on maybe a media side for a team specific. You know, that's been the kind of the cool part is, you know, I think Trent and I have our kind of preconceived notions about each team going into the year, guys we like, you know, the guys that we think are going to step up and maybe fill some of the shoes of players that left from last year. And but what we think is a little bit different from what some other people think too.
Probably 100% different than what people think. I mean, in some situations when I'm hearing Alex give his top 4 and, you know, obviously Jared and I have already given ours, and we'll rehash it again and again, I'm sure, as these episodes go on, but everybody's is different. Like, nobody's is the same. And that's the beauty of this league this year. And really for the last few years, I've been a part of covering this league. It's it's anybody's game any night. And I think that's what makes those months in January, February, and, you know, November. That's what makes them so fun. So, yeah, another, it's going to be another wild season in this conference. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's not waste any more time. Let's kick it to our interview with Alex Micheletti. Time for another one. It's our second one of these, and we have Alex Micheletti on to talk some Mavs. And, you know, obviously we're going into it with coming off of a CCHA championship and NCAA tournament appearance, but with a lot of players and a lot of new faces coming in too. So we wanted to get somebody who's pretty plugged in, who keeps up with the Mavs pretty heavily. Alex, welcome to the show. Thanks for hopping on.
Yeah, Jared, thanks. And Trent, thanks for having me on. It'll be October before we know it here, and another season. So yeah, I'm excited for Maverick hockey and, you know, CCHA as a whole.
We've done like 30 episodes, and that's happened like three total times.
Oh no, okay. I didn't know if I was supposed to keep talking. No.
Trent and I were just looking at each other like, who the fuck wants to take it? Yeah. So we're going to take it from the top.
Okay.
I kind of want to read you the whole intro.
Yeah.
Hey, let Perry know.
Perry, if Perry misses this part, it's on him.
All right.
All right, restart. Mm-hmm. All right, we're back. Another interview here, our second one of these. We have Alex Micheletti on. He's plugged into the Mavs, coming off of, obviously, a CCHA championship, an NCAA tournament appearance, but with a lot of new faces coming through Mankato. So there's a lot to get into. Alex, thank you so much for hopping on the show. We're happy to have you.
Yes, Jared and Trent, thanks for having me on. I'm excited for another year of Maverick hockey and the CCHA as a whole. It's going to be exciting upcoming season, kind of a lot of unknowns with a lot of teams, and, you know, the influx of the CHL players into the conference. So yeah, I'm excited to see, you know, with the rule change, you know, how things change in the landscape of the conference.
And Alex, kind of what we like to do to sort of preface and get an idea of, you know, who you are and your sort of ties to this program, just sort of fill us in. I mean, what's kind of, you know, what's your backstory with Minnesota State, with Mankato? You know, obviously we have media personalities on and they're pretty easy to explain, but, you know, you're just kind of a huge fan of this team, obviously, with some ties. And so break it down for us a little bit.
Yeah, I graduated from the university in 2013, and in 2009, I was a freshman there at Minnesota State, and wanted to be involved in the hockey program in some way, and started to be an intern in the athletic communications office there, and was able to not only work hockey games, but helped, you know, do stats for football and, you know, all sorts of sports on campus there, but mainly men's hockey. And so was there, you know, for the kind of the end of the WCHA and in transition into the CCHA. Great 4 years there. It was there, you know, to see the kind of the end of the run with the Judding era into the beginnings of Hastings. And so that was, yeah, it's kind of exciting time for the university, and that's really where the program has really taken off since then. And like I said, did helped out with press conferences and stats, and got to work at Frozen Four. It was at the X, and got to, you know, when Duluth won it, I think that was 2011. Yeah, that was super fun. But I've stayed kind of close to the program, got to games when I can, and you know follow along with Maverick recruiting and what goes with that. It's, you know, exciting to see you know where they are going in recruiting and you know trying to get you know the top talent to Mankato.
Before we get into the kind of season preview stuff for this year and then this upcoming year specifically, you've had a kind of a keen eye on the eras of Mankato hockey, right? Mm-hmm. You know, since you were in college through now. And
through, you know, two or three different coaches and the couple of conferences and the ever-changing landscape of college hockey, just from your perspective, what allows Minnesota State to kind of stay ahead of the game year after year, even with some of the, you know, the minor setbacks of 2 years ago, to kind of keep reloading and keep being that force on the top of this league?
Yeah, they do a great job of finding the diamonds in the roughs, right? Kind of maybe guys that are undersized or go overlooked. You look at the goalies that they've had in the program over the last decade. It's just incredible. You know, Alex Tracy, Dryden McKay wins a Hobie Baker. That, you know, it's incredible, as you know, to do as a goalie, no matter, you know, what what program you're coming out of. And so, yeah, they do a great job of finding guys that that fit the program and have that underdog mentality, you know, maybe a little bit. And they develop while they're at Minnesota State. And you look at the guys that continue to, you know, sign free agent contracts. You can look at Sam Morton, who was the captain and got a chance to score his first NHL goal in his first game, which was really cool with Calgary at the end of last season. So yeah, they do a great job of finding guys that, fit the style of what Strand wants to do, what Hastings, did in the past, Judding. And it goes to show you can make it out of anywhere to the next level in a pro contract. And so they do an excellent job of developing their players while they're in school.
It's a program too that I have been super impressed with just over these past couple of years, when you consider kind of a lot of the turnover they've had and their ability to bounce back and really just continue to be competitive. I mean, there's been very little let up. I mean, I know a couple of years ago it didn't turn out the way it did. Mm-hmm. That the way it ended was a little controversial, and the past is the past, right? Yeah. But regardless, I'm super impressed with what Luke Strand has done here. Mm-hmm. He's been just nothing but class too. And I've got the chance to talk with him, and everybody I've talked to that has crossed paths with him. Paths with him in the past have said pretty much the same. So I'm excited to see what this team looks like this year. This is a unique year for Minnesota State. Obviously we know about what they had last year in Rhett Pitlick, and obviously in Alex Tracy, who ended up being the CCHA Player of the Year. But this Minnesota State team is, I think they're going to be right back there towards the top again. I mean, you know, just considering the consistency that they have, with the coaching staff and some of these guys on the D-core and in the goalie room specifically. I mean, we'll get into it now. It's 17 guys that they will replace this year. You're talking 7 freshmen and 10 transfers. Well, I'm curious to know, first question, what player do you see on this team? You know, no more Rhett Pitlick. And there's a lot of names that we can throw out here for this, but which player do you see on this team who's going to be the points leader this season?
I'll go with Alex Zetterberg. I think, that was such a huge pickup. Again, he's kind of in that Rhett Pitlick mold, playmaker, has that scoring ability. He came into Boston University as a true freshman, and, sometimes when you're that young, you're going to struggle. And, at least he had a year of college hockey under his belt. And so he's going to be coming in as a sophomore, he's going to be bigger, stronger. He got the chance a couple of weeks ago to be in that summer showcase for the World Juniors. So I think that is going to be huge for his development too, because he's, got a chance to scrimmage against some of the, best players in the world at his age, at the under 20s. And I think that was just a gigantic pickup for them. And there was numerous amounts of transfers, like you mentioned. They were all in on getting guys from the NCHC. It looks like, they get Jack Smith from UMD, who's played a ton of college hockey. You get Charlie Lurie and Liam Watkins from Omaha. So, I mean, you know, they're getting guys from really good programs and have played a ton of college hockey, you know, experience. And one guy that, you know, I'm glad stuck around was Luigi Benincasa, who right at the end of the season was really taking off. And, you know, having him as a leader, a center, especially in, you know, such a key position, as we know, I think he's going to really, really step up. And then, I mean, you mentioned, you know, the back end, you know, they return their top 4D and Alex Tracy, and that with the Mavs, the D-core's always been the strength at the back end. And so they're really going to lean on guys like Evan Murr, Campbell Sykos. You know, they've played a ton of hockey and minutes, and I think Evan Murr will be right up there for the player of the year. I just, the way he's taken off, and, you know, he's been playing in the Beauty League, over up there in Edina. He's looked fantastic. And so I think, he's going to take his game even to the next level there.
I think when we look at this team, right, it's not entirely uncommon that not only CCHA teams, but college hockey teams have to go through off seasons like this, whether, right. Some teams just get gutted in the portal a little bit. And, you know, obviously Minnesota State did a little bit of the gutting in some ways to some other teams. And it's a little bit of that give take. And, but when I look at the points lost for some of the guys, it does, you know, kind of raise a little bit of a red flag for me. It was just, hey, you know, Adam Isley, that's 26 points that isn't coming back. And Brian Carabas, that's 20 more points that, you know, that's graduated. Josh Grohl, 32 points, graduated. Rhett Picklick, obviously we've talked about him. Probably one of the better players to come through the CCHA in the last 5 or 6 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Points that isn't coming back. And, just from your perspective, how do you see, you know, some of the guys that – didn't leave, or some of the transfers that came in filling some of those shoes? Do you see it as more of a, you know, by collection that they're going to have to fill it in, or is this a team where some of these guys that are coming in, or some of the guys who stayed, are going to be expected to fill those roles kind of one for one?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a feeling out process. You know, anytime you have that large amount of turnover and new guys coming in, you know, it might take a little bit for them to get used to the, you know, system that, you know, Strand and company are running. But, you know, like I mentioned, you know, Zetterberg has that, you know, same type of pedigree that, you know, Rhett Picklick had. And I know that's what they were looking for, is to, you know, try to find somebody that could step up into that role, you know. And I think eventually, he's going to, you know, lead the team in scoring and, you know, being on that top power play and getting those, you know, Rhett Picklick type of minutes. But yeah, it's definitely going to be by committee. They'll probably be, you know, the top defensive team in the league again, just with the way Alex Tracy like I mentioned, the D that is returning and bringing a couple of freshmen that are highly touted as well. Two, you know, big, you know, 6'2", 6'3" guys. And so, you know, just the way, you know, Strand has his defensive system, you know, they might be a little bit lower scoring, but when you have a guy like Alex Tracy, you know, back there, he's going to keep you in a lot of games.
We're going to get into Alex Tracy in about 5 minutes too, yeah. Because it's we do some strengths and weaknesses, and he's pretty much the biggest strength in the country, you know, for any team right now. But I want to ask you too, as someone who kind of follows this team as closely as you do, was there a transfer out that surprised you? One that maybe you thought was like, oh, you know, this guy's coming back, he's going to build off a good freshman, sophomore, junior year, and now he's somewhere else where, whoa, we didn't expect to lose that guy.
Yeah, I did not see Adam Isley going. That really hit me hard. I couldn't believe it. I get it. You know, he accomplished everything that he thought he could with the Mavericks and is, you know, on to Ohio State. But yeah, that was one that was really tough. I remember when he was getting recruited, you know, back when Todd Knott was in charge of recruiting, and, you know, it was a Mav through and through. And You know, he really took off. It was incredible, you know, to see his game improve, you know, each season. So yeah, that one hit really hard. I'll be seeing him up here when, you know, when he plays against the Gophers in the Twin Cities. So it'll be weird to see him in Scarlet Red there, but, you know, I'm happy for him too. He gets a chance, you know, to, you know, see if he can up his game, with Ohio State. But all the best, Adam. Great kid. You know, he had a heck of a career in Purple.
And Trent, before you jump into with this, I think this is a good time to note for all college hockey fans that the transfer portal is a very complex system.
Yes.
For players. No player goes in for a group of 10 players will go in for 10 different reasons. It is.
Oh, yeah.
It is never because of laziness. No. I shouldn't say never. It's rarely because of laziness, and it's rarely because of the preconceived notions that we see about the transfer portal single day. So even for someone like an Adam Eiseley, who was a Maverick through and through, and you could hear it in every interview that he did, that sometimes you just need a change of scenery. You got to do what's best for you. So this is a good reminder to college hockey fans and college sports fans in general that the transfer portal is very complex. And unless you get the full story from the player, the intentions of the player are different for each one. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, there's all sorts of rumors. You know, we're seeing, you know, crazy NIL money that we don't know is necessarily true. It's good for getting headlines, but yeah, we don't know the full story unless you hear it directly from the player or the player's advisor. There's craziness going on with that. And, you know, obviously with, you know, it's a bigger transfer portal is a bigger deal in other sports, you know, basketball, football with the money that guys are getting. We don't know for sure in hockey on a less lower scale for sure.
And it doesn't mean that the transfer portal is a flawless system either. It has its flaws to it for sure. But at the end of the day, players go in for whatever reasons they see fit. And it's just the law of the land, not only in the CCHA, but for all of college sports.
Well, and on top of that too, 17 sounds like a lot, you know, and in reality, they lost 9 guys to graduation. I mean, this was inevitably going to be a year with a lot of turnover regardless. You know, there just ended up being some guys who hit the portal. You know, Luke Ashton's another guy who hits the portal that a lot of guys probably expected to come back.
Yes.
He goes to Cornell. Who knows what the reasons are for that change as well. I mean, that's a great academic situation for him. But I want to get into strengths and weaknesses, and I think they're pretty obvious with a team like Minnesota State, but let's hear it from your perspective. I mean, where is this team the strongest, and where do you feel like they're going to be the weakest?
Yeah, the back end, like we've been talking about, you know, anytime you have the player of the year and back there in the goalie, Alex Tracy is going to keep you in every single game. That watching that game in the NCAA tournament against Western, the amount of saves that he was making, it was just absolutely incredible. I mean, he was shutting down Alex Bump, who is now in the NHL with the Flyers, and he kept him in that game all night long.
Might have been the best game of the tournament, honestly.
Yeah, I talk to my dad all the time. My dad mentions it anytime he's on air with anybody. You know, they for stretches they outplayed Western, and just you know, as we know in hockey, just took a bad bounce there, and it was just heartbreaking for you know that team, because they were hitting on all strides after winning the Mason Cup there, and in the way they played down the stretch, just came down to a bounce. And but you know, like I've heard from Strand too, it's kind of is the fuel to their upcoming season, and you know, left a kind of a bad taste in their mouth, and they want to prove that they can get back to the NCAA tournament, even though you know they have all this turnover, and try to get the double again, get the McNaughton and Mason. It's tough to do because as we all know, the conference is a grind. It's such a defensive game and in this conference and physical, and you really earn it when you win those trophies.
I want to touch on Alex Tracy a little bit too, and really kind of a thing about him that allows Mankato so much flexibility defensively. And I think when you have a guy like that who's so dependable and consistent when it comes to a season like he had last year, when you watch them play, you saw a team that was able to play more aggressively defensively. It showed up in every single player. They were more willing to pinch at a blue line. They were more willing to take risks as a defensive unit. Forwards were more willing to take risks defensively. Because when you have a guy like that behind you, it really opens things up in terms of what you're able to do. And it allowed them to suffocate teams through the neutral zone. And I would imagine, you know, coming into this year, even with the turnover they've had, that is the big consistent that Strand can lean on. And hey, look, we still have Tracy back there. It's still going to allow guys like Sam Campbell Psychos, who I really think he became one of the more underrated players in the CCHA last year. But, you know, how much of that is his ability to play that aggressive style of hockey to open up his game too?
Yeah, it's incredible. You know, with Tracy, it's so fun to watch him because, you know, as we know, with goalies, it seems like the new trend is you have to be 6'4", 6'5", 6'3", to even play at the next level. And he's right at 6'5", 5'11". And his angles, just the way he plays in that, it's just so impressive to watch. And, like you said, they can play a different style, or, you know, be more aggressive knowing that they have a guy that, you're not really going to maybe get a goal against off the first look. If he sees it, he's stopping that, and he's giving them space to get the rebound out. His rebound control is just phenomenal. I remember sitting with you, Jared, when they played Bemidji there at the end of this past season, and just watching him and Scholl, with both of them just being undersized, and the way they play in net, it's just incredible, and how much confidence the rest of the team can get by the way your goalie is playing. It's just incredible.
Yeah, and we kind of want to go into a little bit of the predictions portion.
Yeah.
So, we've already talked about guys like Alex Zetterberg and Watkins, right? But I wanted you to give us a guy who maybe they're a returner, maybe they're one of the lesser known transfers that you could see poised for a breakout season.
Yeah, a returner, Ralph Spergmanis. He was just absolutely incredible. He's a character, guy from Latvia. The guys absolutely love him. He's just a heart and soul player. He, especially in that game against Western, he was playing a ton of minutes, and just was so impressive. Another guy that we haven't talked about yet, but has won multiple NCAA titles, Tristan Lemire. Just incredible that now he's on his third school. He's won a title with Western and Denver.
This spells good luck for the Mavs this
season. That's what they're hoping, right? When they were able to get him, I was I couldn't believe it. It was pretty impressive. A lot of these guys, a lot of the transfers that they're banking on them with getting more minutes, that their productions will go up, because people always look at point totals and they're like, well, this guy has low point totals. Why is he coming in? Why are they recruiting him? Well, Strand was able to say, hey, look at all the all the minutes that are available. Power play time,
no doubt. How alluring. I mean, that is so alluring too.
Yeah. I mean, especially, with these guys, a lot of them, I think the majority of them have advisors, and they can, Strand can go to these advisors and say, hey, your guy, does he want to play top minutes and get those, valuable power play minutes? And, scouts are at every single game. When you're getting all that ice time, it's going to help you. And, especially, if the scouts are looking for, these guys to play in the AHL or NHL, ECHL, or maybe overseas teams, it's going to help them get to the next level by, getting seen and getting those minutes. So that I think that was valuable in the transfer portal. And they've had a lot of great success in the portal. You look at what Rhett Pitlick did with all the time. And they're a guy that doesn't, like we mentioned, doesn't have a ton of points coming in, but Ian Somoza, who was also transferring from Western, this guy was one of the top scorers in the BCHL when he was in junior, and you know, they're really banking on him getting back to his you know, junior production. His brother, as Jared knows, played for Bemidji, and so you know, he's going to be familiar with you know, these teams, and you know, I think he's going to really take off. A guy that a newcomer, one of the freshmen, his name is Reed Morich. He played for Waterloo, was in the Clark Cup final, and had a really great junior career, is a little bit older. And so I think he's really going to step in and be given a chance to, you know, to score right away. You know, I was really impressed watching him in the USHL, a kid that's from Arizona, but kind of started his career out in the Pittsburgh area, and then is played in the USHL for the past couple of seasons. You know, I think he's really going to take off.
Yeah, and Lemire's one that you bring up, and we've talked a lot about these portal additions. I'm curious, can get your perspective a little bit more on what you like about this freshman class too, because there's certainly some intriguing names here. We got Bryce Strand, that name might sound a little familiar.
Yes.
Jordan Ron, Mason LaBelle, Liam Hupka, Rylan Bonkowski, Easton Houston, and Reed Morich. I mean, which, you know, who do you like the most of kind of being a day one impact guy? It sounds like Morich you're pretty high on.
Yes. Yeah. Just the way, you know, he was a leader for Waterloo too. So I think he's going to bring that mentality to college hockey too. Probably going to be a future captain. Just
two, you know, Waterloo guys, by the way.
Yes. Yeah. Just, yeah. You know, there's a joke among Maverick fans that, you know, with Strand coaching for Sioux City, we always joke about, you know, like Sioux City Mavericks, because they get a lot of their players from that team. Houston was with Sioux City and they got traded over to Waterloo. But yeah, it's it's a unique, it's kind of a smaller class of a freshman. They had two others that were supposed to be Mavericks, but have gone elsewhere. You know, there's a lot of drama with that, with Jack Kernan going to North Dakota and Tate Pritchard going to Minnesota. But, you know, the rest of the class kind of stayed loyal. They got Mason LaBelle was a late add from the NAHL, you know, kind of, you know, unique story. Comes from a big hockey family, a cousin played in the NHL. And so, and Bonkowski, you know, his brother, Jacob is a sophomore on the team, and so they're going to have two brothers on the team, which is really cool that that they get to do that. And Jordan Ron was a big-time scorer in Minnesota high school hockey, and another going to be another older, you know, freshman coming in. So, you know, a lot of the, you know, a lot of the class is 2021, so they're going to be ready to go right away, and you know, that helps a lot, because you look at you know, a lot of college hockey freshmen, you know, it the trend is that they're playing 2-3 years of juniors instead of coming in as a true freshman. It's so much harder. You're not physically ready, especially in the CCHA. You got to be you know, ready to go, because it's, you know, you're going to get hit hard. You know, I like that, you know, Bonkowski's a little bit smaller, but the two other guys, you know, they're trees. Houston's huge. Hupka's huge too. Hupka won a state title in high school with Minnetonka, which is, as we know, is a pretty big program for Minnesota boys hockey. So yeah, these guys are coming in with a lot of experience and have won a ton in high school and juniors. So yeah, it's you know, it's a pretty interesting group, and cool for Bryce Strand that he gets to play for his dad. You don't get to see that a whole lot. So I'm happy that he gets to play D1 hockey and get a chance.
I also think it's interesting looking at this freshman class as well, that Minnesota State is taking a little bit more of the traditional recruiting approach and hasn't totally dipped its toes into the CHL yet.
Yes.
Whereas you see
Bowling Green is bringing in a host of CHL players. Michigan Tech, Northern Michigan has a few. Bemidji State has a handful. You know, what are your thoughts on just that approach? And we talked about this in our hasn't been released yet, but in our first preview with Augustana, that they were another team that hasn't really dipped their toes into the CHL pool. But there isn't really one way to do this in college hockey. There are multiple junior leagues to pull from. You can go to Europe. You can go to the Canadian territories, and you can find worthy college hockey players. But from your perspective, did you kind of maybe expect more, or where you're at on this?
Yeah, it was really unique because, I mean, every week we were seeing Bowling Green get another guy from the CHL. But, you know, it makes sense because, you know, Coach Williams with Bowling Green, that's the league, you know, he came from Canadian Junior. And so, you know, he had all the contacts with all the coaches there and players, and he knew the player pool. We hear that from coaches all the time, talk about player pools. And, you know, Strand, you know, coached in the USHL, familiar with that league. And so it makes sense that you go with where you know, the contacts, you know, the relationships you have. And, you know, it's all brand new. These CHL players have never played college hockey before, and so they're going to have to get used to the style. It's probably going to take them a little bit. You know, the physicality is it's a lot more in college hockey compared to what they're used to in the CHL. And the CHL is kind of more roles a lot of these guys have, and there might be an adjustment right away from what they're used to. You know, you're seeing the guys that are committed, and there's a learning curve. And as we know with the refs too, you got to get used to that. It's a completely different, a whole different ball game.
I want to get into a little bit of the
I can't wait to see you know what comes with that.
Sorry, cut out there. So okay. I talked over, you're good. I want to get into a little bit of the series as well. And I'll run through the slate a little bit. They're non-conference. They're going to be at Omaha. They'll be at Hastings Land at the Kohl Center against Wisconsin. At home, their home openers against RPI. Shout out to Perry. I'm sure he'll be there. And then also, I think over the holiday break, they're going to be doing the Cactus Cup. And then of course, they'll have their whole CCHA slate. Amongst those, give me your series that you're looking forward to the most in the conference and both out of the conference.
Yeah, I cannot wait for that Wisconsin series. As we know, there's a good chance that it might be Alex Tracy against Eli Pulver, who was Alex's backup at Mankato. That just the storylines. I hope that at least happens for one of the nights, because that just writes itself. Cool. Yeah, it's going to be just fascinating to see how that entire weekend goes. And, some of the players that were Mavs are still in school at Wisconsin. You take a look at Simon Tassi and Christian Fitzgerald, and obviously Pulver just coming over. So just, it'll be interesting just to see the battles. The tournament, you don't see a lot of college hockey tournaments anymore in season. And so it's cool that the Mavericks get a chance to fly out there and, get a chance to maybe play St. Cloud out there. So kind of, you know, really cool opportunity. And then in conference, you know, I can't wait to see them play Bowling Green, because like we talked about, I mean, the majority of the roster is going to be, CHL players coming in. So I'm just fascinated to see how that goes for them. Michigan Tech with the new coach there, Bill McCault, you know, that's gonna be fun too. Just to see what he brings, and he's brought in a lot of his own guys too. So yeah, just intrigued with those matchups, because I think it's gonna be a battle at the top with those teams.
I want to ask you too, in a lot of ways, coming into this job and learning about the CCHA as much as I had, it feels like Minnesota State is kind of big brother to a lot of teams in this league, at least from a fan perspective. But from your perspective, who is Minnesota State's biggest rival?
Yeah, I think over the past couple of seasons, it's been Bemidji. It's those games have just been absolutely intense. Yeah. So it was fun watching the game right next to you, Jared. you know, you could just sense, you know, the rivalry, and, you know, the Mavs really wanted that, you know, that cup, and, you know, in the playoffs, that game was just intense, you know, and, you know, St. Thomas, you know, this is the, you know, or coming up, where they're going to be switching conferences, but, it was intense watching those games too, right away. You know, just, you could feel it, but Bemidji and St. Thomas, anytime they play the Mavs, it's been, just an absolute battle, and, you know, wanting to get the McNaughton, it seems like it always comes down to right at the end, which
does. I love.
Yeah. It's just incredible. And this season, it seems just more wide open, just with every team that had the turnover, and we had coaching change with Michigan Tech, and I can't wait, because like you said, Jared too, and Trent, the Mavs kind of always have the target on their backs, you know, coming right before the conference started, they were kind of the top dogs for forever, and at the, you know, at the WCHA at with the end of it, and coming into the, you know, the CCHA and adding more teams. And so, yeah, they, the Mavs like being right at the top there. And, you know, when they had the transition, you know, they were able to let Bemidji win it, and they, the Mavs got it right back, you know, yeah, we'll see. It's gonna be more wide open, than you know, I can't wait.
I'm gonna get a few DMs about that, yes, little comment, yes, there. Yes,
yes. That one's gonna, no, all the respect. You know, Tom Cerebelli is one of my favorite coaches in college hockey. It's both of the brothers, the Ceratori brothers, just legends. Their family and my family have, you know, such deep connections. It just, to hear the stories of the Iron Range and how they grew up is just in the rivalries of Northern Minnesota hockey. It's just the best.
It's a bit of a dream episode that we have on here. And I know the Ceratoris are listening to this right now. So if you're listening, yes, we want both of you on at, yes, some point. We would love to have a Ceratori episode, an all Ceratori episode. Yeah, I'll change my name to Trent Ceratori, and you can be Jared Ceratori. We can pretend like we're their sons.
Just press record and just not say a word.
Let them go. Let them talk the entire time. Yeah, the stories that they have—it's just absolutely incredible. And their hockey journeys, and you know, where they've all played and coached—it's just incredible.
Yeah, it's, you know, I had a feeling you'd throw in Bemidji State with the – I got a kind of a deep dive into it when I did the whole thing about the 2022 Mason Cup, yeah, and yeah, just hearing how those players and those coaches just talk about what goes into those games. And yeah, then you put it on that platform with, you know, obviously an NCAA tournament bid on the line. And there's some real passion behind that rivalry, and there's a lot of respect that comes with, yes, that rivalry too. But it is I mean, it's two programs that don't like each other.
Yeah, and Jared, you had some incredible stories this past season. Just Jackson Judding, too, just his uncle Troy, yeah, being the head coach of the Mavericks for a long time, and growing up and going to those games, and then being on the other side of it as a rival with Bemidji, yeah, just incredible. And he was so fun to watch from the stands. Just always respected his game in way he started his career out with Colorado College, and then getting a chance to come into CCHA. He was one of the top players, and another Mankato native, Kyle Loft, growing up in Mankato, but then joining Bemidji and being on the rival, just incredible stories from you over the years. That rivalry will continue as always.
There's going to be some like homegrown Bemidji kid that commits to Mankato in, yes, 10 years. And now I'm going to,
yeah,
have to deal
with it. I can't wait for the reversal. Yeah, one of these days, it's got to happen. Just that would be, yeah, it'd be fun just to see it from that end for sure.
If you are unfamiliar with what we're talking about, Jared did an outstanding piece, maybe one of my favorite pieces, yes, from last season, about the wild night that was in Mankato.
And a lot of the backstory and recollecting it. If you haven't read that, I recommend you pause this right now. Go and read it, because it is a great story. Jared, you did a good job, and I hate tooting your horn. You know that.
But the one thing I had never known about this story is the Healthy Scratch helping get the whole thing started with reviewing
there were some cool tidbits in there. Yeah, I just love the narrative of walking around too in the back and some of the photos that you were able to get. It was really good stuff, Jared.
Yes.
Yeah. I did 22 interviews for that story in 3 days. So it was
incredible. Yeah.
It was a fun one.
I think more than anything, that just goes to show you how easy it is to get people to talk about that too, because half the time when you're trying to get somebody to interview, it's you got to wait. Yes. When 22 people want to talk in 3 days about this thing, you know, it was something pretty special and something they'll never forget.
Yeah. That's something they'll tell their, you know, grandkids, something they'll always want to talk about just because of how unique it was. And just with so much on the line too, right?
Yep.
It was for a chance to win a trophy and go to the NCAA tournament. So something that I don't think a lot of people will ever forget, especially Lucia getting what a way to start it off. Just incredible. One of the funniest things too, I'm sure, you know, Trent and Jared, you saw that too, this past season with an infamous Twitter handle, Big Bag of Knuckles, who's a Mankato fan, asking Lucia if it was okay to go home. I'll never forget that. That's what's so unique about college hockey. You have kind of moments like that, and the fans are, you know, it's a unique bunch and passionate of their teams for sure.
Hey, Don plays well too, man. That was that was funny. I do want to get into more of your takes on the CCHA, but I got one final one on Minnesota State to sort of sign them off here, and then we'll jump into a few questions about the league as a whole. So we did this with David as well. We're going to do this with everybody who's on here. Finish this sentence for us. Minnesota State will have a successful season if blank happens.
If they are able to get depth scoring to help them out, and if Alex Tracy, is the player of the year again, which, he'll be right up in the running. If he has the season that he just had this past season, if he repeats it again, they'll be right in the mix for both the trophies and a chance at a NCAA tournament berth.
To follow up on that a little bit, how much does, you watch what this team did last year on the offensive side too, how much does that really two-way ability, up top and on the attack, how important is that going to be when you look at kind of what they are turning over with their top six? And, that's clearly where their biggest question marks are. But, I think that plays a lot into this as well, right?
Yeah, it's going to be huge. They're going to be really relying on a guy like Luigi who came back and, like I said, center is going to be huge. They're going to need Jack Smith, his veteran experience, because down the middle, in this league, as we know, two faceoffs are so critical. And if you get that possession, it's just absolutely huge. It's this conference is all about possession. And, the way the D systems are set up with a lot of these teams, they clog the middle and it's a grind to score. Anytime, especially you play Bemidji, it is so tough. Those Bemidji Mankato games, it's an absolute battle. Whoever gets that first one, it seems like the other team shuts things down. And so, you really, there is an emphasis on getting that possession right away. And special teams, it's a battle. You get your power play, you better score on it, or otherwise you could be in trouble. And so they're gonna right away have to find that chemistry, find the lines. I know if you take a look at the way they did the recruiting with transfers, they tried to find guys that had played together in juniors and had success. You take a
did
look
they really
look,
I did not catch that.
If you take a look, you go on Liam Watkins and look at his elite prospects or Hockey DB, whatever, you try to see where they played in junior. Liam played with Luigi back in the AJHL, And Beckford, the backup goalie, also played with those guys. So, I mean, you know, they looked to try to find, you know, guys that were familiar with each other. And hopefully they can, you know, rekindle that in, with the Mavs in college now here. So, yeah, I think they really did an emphasis on that and tried to be unique with recruiting. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, kind of lower point totals from where they've come previously. But, you know, that's the hope, is that they can refine that chemistry of, you know, playing in the past and also, you know, how they played in juniors. And, you know, the expectation is, hey, with more ice time, time on special teams, that the point productions will go up, and then being in the system that you know, Strand and company have. So yeah, that's what the strategy is for sure. And you know, I wouldn't bet against Strand and Troy Ward and Corey McCracken and Keith Paulson. You know, they've had a lot of success right away, I think that's what drew a lot of these guys, is, you know, give us an opportunity and we'll run with it.
I think that's a kind of a good point of Minnesota State is just kind of deserves the benefit of the doubt when it comes to seasons like this. I mean, you know, if this happens at a, you know, a Michigan Tech per se, where they lose the amount of players they did and they have to reload them all, I don't think the benefit of the doubt is as high as it is for Minnesota State, because it is proven 100%. Even with multiple coaches.
Yeah. And, you know, they've always, it's incredible. The back end has always been right there, their strength, no matter who the coach is. And, you know, they've, the Hastings transition to Strand, the defensive structures, it seems like it's always, you know, they didn't miss a beat. You know, they don't give up a ton of goals. They don't give up a ton of shots. You know, you really have to work hard to get your shot totals into the 30s against the way Strand has things set up, and they're so good on the penalty kill. It's incredible to watch. And their power play, you know, at times was in and out, but you know, when you had a guy like Rhett Pitlick, you know, he kept them there. And the hope is that that continues with a guy like Alex Zetterberg, who, you know, has a really good chance at making the World Junior team, which is, you know, they haven't had that often at Mankato, you know, other than really Teddy Bluger. So, you know, it's, you know, it's, they have the benefit of the doubt of just the way they've, you know, they've had success right away. And, they've gotten guys to sign pro contracts. It's always really cool to see guys at the next level. And you know, I'm sure with this group, you know, it's a lot of chips on shoulders, and you know, guys that have come from those, you know, bigger conferences, and now are getting a chance to, hey, maybe they didn't get the ice time they had in the NCHC, but now you're in the CCHA with the Mavs, and you know, you've had your college hockey experience with another team, but now you're going to get that elevated ice time, you know, most likely. And let's see what you can do with it.
Let's go into kind of the league wide stuff. Give us your top four teams heading into the CCHA, and give us your McNaughton Cup winner.
Yeah. Well, you know, I still think, you know, the Mavs were the top dog, and even with the turnover, you have the, you know, the player of the year in Alex Tracy, and good luck trying to get the puck by him. You know, it's going to be, you know, strength from the back end forward. So, you know, until you take down the top dog, I think you got to keep them there, and just based off the pedigree. My number two team, I will go with Michigan Tech. I really think Bill McCault, just the way he made Lindenwood, they beat some pretty good teams you know, as an independent. And so, you know, he, as a recruiter, recruited a lot of amazing talent to Michigan, and you know, he's been the assistant in the past at Michigan Tech, and so he's familiar with the conference. And you know, I think that was an excellent hire by Michigan Tech. You know, I think he's gonna get the ground running right away. I just really enjoy the way he coaches. Bowling Green, I think, is my third team. I was really impressed with Williams and how he got things going right away for Bowling Green. They kind of had some turmoil right before that, and so you know, I think that was an excellent hire. You know, getting a guy that you know is familiar with the program there, being there, and you know, people maybe they forget, but you know, he coached a Canadian World Junior team too. So
yeah.
I mean, when you get chosen to be the head coach of a team like that, and the scrutiny that comes with it, you know, it's impressive. He had a heck of a record in Canadian juniors too. So yeah, excellent hire. Bemidji is my fourth team. I know they lost a lot, you know, especially losing a guy like Judding and a goalie like Scholl, but Saratori knows this league like the back of his heart, and you know, he'll probably be right up there for the first, second spot. But you know, those four teams, I think it's going to be interchangeable. We'll see it go up and down in this season. It's so wide open, right?
It is.
With all the turnover and, you know, that coaching change, like I mentioned, and you get the influx of CHL players and then, you know, transfers from the, you know, bigger schools. It's going to be awesome. You know, it'll probably come down right to the wire, just like, you know, the past few seasons.
It's just so crazy because it's vastly different than what David Brown said is his top four team. And it's vastly different than my top four, and it's vastly different than Jared's top four. Like, everybody's different. I mean, St. Thomas, you hadn't even mentioned St. Thomas. And the way I'm looking at this conference right now is you're looking at, you know, it's about consistency much, right? And Minnesota State has established that over the last few years. I see them as a top four team because of that. Yep. You look at programs like Tech, you look at programs like Bowling Green, I don't see quite as much consistency. But St. Thomas, I mean, you're talking the same upward trajectory. Augustana, same upward trajectory. Something about that bodes well for me in terms of, you know, we're living in a wild college era of college athletics in general, and especially on the hockey side too, when you're talking about the transfer portal, when you talk about NIL and how do these smaller conferences compete. It's just wild. I think it's going to be a really interesting year. We haven't even touched on some of the dark horses, and we'll get to that here in a little bit, but there are certainly some sleepers even beyond that.
Yeah, I didn't mention St. Thomas Augustana, but they could be right. It's going to be interchangeable for sure. Like you said, they've, you know, St. Thomas and Augustana have probably a little bit more consistency than those others. I was just, when I was taking a look at it, I just think, you know, there is a lot of unknown about the CHL players, but they were really successful in their junior careers too. So, you know, that's what might, you know, help them. You know, it is unknown. When you're doing predictions, it's a lot of,
unknown.
All going to change.
We're here just to blow smoke. I mean, that's literally all it is. How about this one too, since you've kind of given us your top four, really in order too, which CCHA teams do you see in the NCAA tournament? And I said team. So do you see this as a two bid league this year?
I think so. No, I really do.
I do too.
Yeah. It, because of how wide open it is,
it all depends on non-conference for me. I mean, we talked about that with David.
Yeah. But with pairwise, it's too bad that's how it is determined, because you know there's a lot of good teams that get left out. I see it as a two team bid for this season. I'll go with the Mavs, and you know, it seems like St. Thomas, they just do a fantastic job in the playoffs. So, you know, with them, you know, getting a chance to now make the NCAA tournament, I think they've been building for this to, you know, to to get that chance. So even if they don't, even if they're not in my top four in the playoffs,
I mean, it, yeah,
it's all like I said, that it was so hard to pick.
Well, it wouldn't shock me in the slightest to see St. Thomas being that middle of the pack team who makes the run to the Mason Cup, and then your first place team gets it. Like, that's totally viable situation for me.
You never count out motivation, you know, for them. It's too bad that they had to wait for that, you know, to transition. But they've been building for this, and the way they've recruited, you know, I really like what Rico and Corey and Leon are building there, and as they transition to their new conference. But, you know, I think they want to go out in style, and also, you know, make the tournament for the first time as a D1 program.
Halloween, October 31st, Lee and Penny Anderson Arena. Are you going to be there?
Yeah, I will be there. Yes. I was talking to Leon. I was like, I cannot wait for that one. It's going to be a fun night. You know, just seeing that new arena, and you know, it'll be really nice for their students to be on campus. They don't have to drive out to the rink anymore. They have it right there, and they can walk over. And it's such a big thing for recruiting, as we know. Anything flashy and brand new is going to be big for this new era of players. And so, yeah, that should set the tone right away for conference and see how it's going to go. You know, one sweeps the other, and just I cannot wait. And that rivalry right from the start was intense.
Pull one out for the St. Thomas Ice Arena.
Yes,
I'm gonna miss it.
Yes,
That's where I met Alex.
Yes, that was a fun night. You know, they've had some. You know, the Mavs and St. Thomas have had some really fun games there the past season. With Bolson getting overtime winner. Yeah, that was, you know, just fun games, unique with it being you know, a high school rink and being smaller. So I'm sure the players cannot wait to get into that new rink and just see what comes about it.
You can't get food prices there too, man.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
I'm gonna miss it because now I'm not gonna be able to hear every single word that Sarah Torrey says on the bench.
So right. Right. You're gonna have a scoreboard that's really nice. And, it's probably
I'm gonna have to wear a winter coat to watch a hockey game.
A little bit nicer press area, I'm sure, for you too. So
our last one for you. Yeah. Who's your biggest sleeper team? A team that is kind of flying under the radar that could, all of a sudden they're in the mix to maybe win the McNaughton Cup down the stretch.
Yeah. A team that we didn't mention, I should have mentioned, is Augustana. I really like what they're building there. You know, they are getting some great talent, and they didn't, Trent, they didn't lose anybody, right, to the portal?
Nobody in the portal.
Yeah, so, I mean, to have that is just incredible, you know. And, Lake State, you know, they play teams hard, and I like what they're building. You know, they hired a general manager, so that was kind of really unique, interesting. They were given an anonymous gift.
Yes.
When I see that, it's incredible. How gracious people are to college hockey. To get that amount of money. What was $1 million or something like? Pretty cool. So I think that's really going to give a boost to their program and help with recruiting and getting to places to get players out of. It's a tough place to play up there. And good luck to Lake.
Another team that Jared and I think are pretty high on as being a sleeper, and we haven't even talked about him. We've talked about Bill Muckle being a new coach. Well, there's another new coach in the CCHA, and Brett Riley out at Ferris State. And you really have to like what they've brought into in terms of the portal. It's going to be a lot to get a lot of new faces on the same page, but these are pretty accomplished guys. When you talk about some of these Long Island transfers. Yeah. And he really plucked a lot of guys out east and brought him out here to Big Rapids. So I think Ferris State's another one to keep an eye on.
I watched his opening press conference. I always like to do that just to, you know, hear, you know, their vision and where they came from. And he was impressive. Just recruiting wise, he's done a great job getting his guys to come over from Long Island, and they were, as an independent, that is so hard to do to recruit there. And he's going to come into this conference, and it's hard to take over for a legend, right? I can't. There I think he's gonna do an excellent job, and it's tough as a younger coach like that, right? The stereotype that, hey, I haven't been a coach for a while in college hockey, but he's had a lot of success right away. And these teams are, you know, they're not flying, right? A lot of times they're busing. And so to come into an environment like that, a smaller rink, that's an advantage that the home, Ferris takes advantage of for sure.
I also want to, I'm glad you mentioned Lake State too, not only with the off the ice stuff with the general manager and the donation, but that is a sleeper team of a sleeper team. They still have one of the best players in this league in Connor Milburn, and a really
machine. Witten's a great coach too. Doesn't get talked about enough just because they're way up there, and just a scoring machine, and they play everybody tough. If you come out of there with a win or a sweep, it is well earned up there.
Absolutely. Alex, that's all we got for you. Why don't you plug your Twitter account too, so people following can follow you on Twitter and get all your Mavs stuff.
Yeah, I'm always talking about the Mavs and the league itself. Right on the screen there too. It's Alex Micheletti, AlexMicheletti, and follow me there. And I can't wait for October here. It's going to be here soon enough.
And if you love Minnesota sports, Alex is plugged in. I know when the Twins are losing.
Yes.
And they're losing
meltdowns. Right, yes. Now, so yes. Yeah. We need football back. We need Vikings back.
Wolves back. We need the Wild back. Yeah. We need to get to October now. Yeah. Yeah. Right now.
Yeah. 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 Yes.
So, good stuff. Anyways, Alex, thank you so much for hopping on. Thanks, man. We really appreciate it. All right, once again, thank you to Alex Micheletti for joining the show. Subscribe to the CCHA show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from. And subscribe to the CCHA on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter at Trent Singer and at Jared Rubato BP. You can check out our work at BemidjiPioneer.com and SiouxFallsLive.com.